I almost hate to interrupt you. You're having such a good time visiting, but welcome to Grace on this first Sunday in February. We were so excited to say goodbye to January, but somebody needs to tell January its shift is over, okay? February can still be, you know, winter, but it gets the past because it's not January. But anyway, welcome. It's warm in here, and there's no wind blowing and snow drifting in here. So good to see you. Welcome to Grace on this really nice Sunday to be together as the church family that we are. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary. Welcome if you're out in the parking lot and listening on the radio. Welcome if you're at home taking this in online. We greet you warmly in the name of our Lord. So just a few announcements before we get started. Today, of course, right after the service, there's food and fellowship. All are welcome. Tuesday, 6 p.m., the Grace Council meets in the chapel, so to do a little business. And then, this is a misprint, it should be Wednesday evening, but there's no concert this month. Just a reminder, we just don't try to do concerts in January, February. It never seems to work out. Kind of like my Wednesday morning Bible study. But we're going to have it this Wednesday, weather permitting. I did ask the Wednesday study group, we canceled for the week of Christmas because it was pretty busy, and I said, well, do you want to just take January off? Oh, no, we want to keep meeting. We met once in January, and it just storms every Wednesday. So, but I think we'll maybe squeeze it in this week. So, and of course, then prayer group meets. We take a 15-minute break after the ending of the Bible study, and then the prayer group meets. So if you see a prayer card in the pew, you have a prayer request, fill it out, put it in the collection plate, it will be prayed for. And then I'll be attending the Pelican Rapids Ministerial on Wednesday 11, so if you're looking for me, just be patient, I'll be back. So birthdays, we'll pray for them by name at the end of the service. There's some service opportunities here. Sunday morning greeters, it's kind of fun to just be out there and make people feel welcome when they walk through the front door. You can sign up to Feed the Foundry Youth Group. That's always a lot of fun. And then there's one that didn't make the bulletin, but it's just as important. If you're really good at assembling office chairs, Rena's got a new one. Her old one died. So she would really love to have someone assemble that office chair. So if you're good at that kind of thing, there you go. So it's boxed up in her office. So next Sunday, February 13th. We're on our schedule with 9 a.m. Sunday school confirmation adult study and then 10 a.m. worship, not with communion. That's a misprint. We'll have communion today. As you can see, we're set up not on the altar, but you should have gotten your little communion cup. By the way, we're as a council, we've decided that we have a communion service on Good Friday. We are going to go back to the old way of doing communion. Won't that be fun? So it's time. It's time. So, but right now we're using the little cups, the little kits. So if you need one, hold your hand up. The usher will bring you one. If you didn't get one, you walk through the door. So, all right. So Wednesday, February 16th, very special event happening here during our Wednesday morning Bible study. Nathan Zabodi, I had Nathan's dad in seminary. No further comment. But Nathan is a missionary to Chad. And he will be speaking at our Wednesday morning Bible study. And they've collaborated with our own Sarah Runovic, and she's produced kind of an illustrated book to go along with Nathan's mission. So we'll be excited to have him here and just learn about it. And I'm sure he'll have a few things to say about the Gospel of John, too. So you don't have to attend. If you want to just come and that one Wednesday and here, Nathan, we'd love to have you. I'm looking forward to it. So that's February 16th. So February's got a couple of weeks here to get its act together, okay? So we can have our study on Wednesday morning. So spring choir practice. There's a schedule here. There's some sheets. If you're in the choir, you should have a sheet in your mailbox. Amy's got extra sheets with it. But yeah, we're going to start gearing up for Good Friday and Easter. So the schedule's there again, Wednesdays and Sundays, kind of like what we did for Christmas. So February mission, the Pelican Rapids food shelf. So what we do is we give our donations in February, and then we give that to the Pelican Rapids food shelf in March, and then there's matching funds that are available in March for them. So it's our way to really help out the local food shelf. So thank you. Thank you to those who brought food and served last Sunday's fellowship time. Thank you to all the council and board members who have completed their terms. You are very appreciated. So thank you. If you're going off the board, it's appropriate to give them a round of applause. And as we swing into the new council and board members, if you are, re-upping for a term on the council or a board, or if you're brand new to a board or council, I'd like you to stand up because I want to have a word of prayer for you. So, okay, there they go. All right. So, first of all, thank you very much. And so this is just a prayer of commissioning for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up front, okay, unless you want to. No? No. Okay, all right. So, but in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us hear what the scriptures say about ministry in the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves?" So our Lord has called us into this type of service, to serve him as we serve one another. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all." So we are thankful that God has gifted us with you and your talents and your desire to serve in the areas that you are going to serve, and we so appreciate you. And so let's have a word of prayer for those who are assuming new offices or re-upping again for another term. Each of you has been elected by this congregation to a responsible position of leadership. In recognition of the gift God has given you, we just acknowledge your service among us, and we thank God for you. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have gifted this church with many different gifts and the willingness of people to serve. And so we pray your blessing upon those who are serving us with their time and their efforts, and we just praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, I think a round of applause would be appropriate. Thank you. Thank you all. It really does take a village, so to speak. It takes a lot of different people to make this place run, and you are very appreciated. So, well, let's open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome again. I'd like to invite you to join in singing our opening song of worship seen on the screen, "Wonderful, Merciful Savior."
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and thank you.
Our call to worship this morning is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 138, verses 4 through 8. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
When they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies.
And your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep us steadfast in the faith, that we may lean only upon you and your saving grace given in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers that would like to come forward to join me as we turn to the hymn titled, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. It's hymn number 559 in the green hymnal or as seen on the screens.
Thank you, praise singers. This morning in confirmation, we explored the meaning of possessive pronouns. Let me get a little geeky here on grammar, but we pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father. Isn't that a beautiful possessive pronoun? We own this God together because he has owned us and claimed us in his Son. By sending him to redeem us. And we connect with the hour of our Father every Sunday when we do what we're about to do, when we stand before God openly and honestly and confess that we're sinners in need of his grace, and he gives us that grace and forgiveness. And this is the glue that really holds us together as God's family. So let's do this together, the brief order of confession and forgiveness found on page 56 in your green hymnal or as it appears on the screen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's promise to us from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, but if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. It's my great privilege to proclaim to you that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as it's summarized in the Apostles' Creed, that ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
From Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Isaiah's vision of the Lord and what the pastor just said, our Father, our Lord, is the same being that Isaiah saw. In the year that King Isaiah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations and the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwelt in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then I said, Here am I. Send me. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 14, 12 through 20. Maturity in worship. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in any position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. Our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, whose will it is that none of your little ones should perish, and who welcomes children, saying, of such is the kingdom of God. Guide and bless the children of our church by your Holy Spirit, that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of your word. Protect them from all danger and harm, and give your holy angels charge over them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the hungry and the homeless, and the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor, nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel in every place. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church, who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The song that I'd like to share this morning is His Mercy Is More. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He's lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Thank you, Amy. What a great message. Our sins are many, his mercy is more. Well, it's that time in our service where I'm going to invite the kids over to the table and the chair for a kid's message, and I see Dacia's coming with the fruit snacks, so it's all good. All right. Well, good to see you. All right. All right. Well, I need to do something today. Let's do a little comparison. I think you're the tallest one here. Why don't you come over here and stand next to her, and then we'll face the congregation. Okay. So, okay, you're not as tall as she is. One time you were her height, right? But now if I stand next to you, you're not the tallest one anymore. Do you know what? If there's any number of people out there that I could have come up and stand next to me, and then I wouldn't be the tallest one either, would I? No. It's kind of all relative. Thank you. Well, what's the point of this? Comparisons. Today in our Bible reading, we're going to see Peter compare himself to Jesus. And you know, Peter was a good man. He was a fisherman. And I'm sure when Peter compared himself to some of the other fishermen who were maybe, you know, a little rough around the edges, as we say, and, you know, Peter went to church a lot, and he probably thought he was better, but when he stood next to Jesus, you know what he said? He said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." It's kind of like Isaiah in the Bible reading, when he had a vision of the Lord. He said, "Woe is me." But you know what? We don't have to be afraid to stand next to Jesus anymore because of this cross. He took away all our sins. We don't have to say, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful person," because Jesus has taken our sins away, hasn't he? So remember that. We don't have to worry about standing next to Jesus. He wants us to be with him, and he's paid the price to make that so. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, today we thank you that when you come into our lives, it's not to punish us. It's to redeem and save us. And we thank you, Lord, that we may ever think of you as a good and gracious God, and that we might see you because of what you've done for us as our friend. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, thank you guys for coming up here, and let's give them a hand and get your fruit snacks, too. Kids, you make our church life so meaningful. Thank you so much for being here today. Well, we heard it in especially the Old Testament reading today. What happens when we have a real encounter with the Lord? The Hebrew in that Isaiah text is very graphic. Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I'm dead." Not undone. He just says, "I'm dead." And if you notice in that reading, He didn't do any bartering with God. God, if you give me a chance, I'll clean up my act. No, he said, woe is me. And God moved upon him freely with his forgiveness. So today we want to talk about when we're touched by the reality of Christ. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, first of all, that you are real. And because of your resurrection, you live and reign today. And you come into our lives, even into our mess, with your presence, with your goodness, and with your help. So help us now to hear what you have for us today from your word. Amen. Well, today's gospel text provides us with the opportunity to do a spiritual reality check, we might say. So let's approach it by a very common illustration. If my life was a house, what rooms would I not want Jesus to enter? I've written about this, an article called The Junk Room. We had one when I was growing up, just that room that you just threw everything in. And, you know, when you were tidying up the house, if you had company coming over, throw it in the junk room, because no one's going to go back there. So the purpose of this is to maybe delve a little deeper. Do I separate who I am at church from who I am in other places? Now, like Peter in today's text, Jesus comes to me in everyday situations. He's in every room of the house. We just forget that. I cannot stop him or contain him. He's there, whether I acknowledge him or not. But here is our common struggle. The reason I'm unwilling to acknowledge Jesus is because by my nature, I'm a natural hider from God, like Adam and Eve in the garden. They sinned. God knew it. God came into the garden, and they hid. And God called out to them, where are you? Now, God knew where they were at, so that call was a redemptive call. But they were hiding nonetheless. They were ashamed. They didn't want to face him. But today's text also provides us the opportunity to hear some really good news. Good news for the spiritually reluctant. So we're going to tap into what Luther himself discovered. This is a quote from Luther. He said, the more you feel that you are a sinner, and the more you want to run away from God, just so much more you should press forward to him. Why? Well, in other words, what Luther is trying to tell us is that the truth of the gospel is that the God that I hide from is the same God who can heal me. God comes to me in my spiritual dysfunction. And not only can, but desires to heal us and make us his friends. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Jesus calls his first disciples. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, for the remainder of the reading of this text, we're going to do what's called a discourse analysis. A discourse analysis, that's what we used to call it when I taught in seminary. But this just means that we're going to look especially at those words that are in quotation marks. When someone steps out of a narrative and speaks, it's very important to put our antenna up. So here we go. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of the Lord. Kind of like our Old Testament reading. Isaiah encountered the goodness and grace of God, and what did he say when God called? "Here am I, send me." But did you catch Peter's reaction to Jesus' command to go into deeper water and cast the nets? We can hear in Peter's response a lingering curse, a curse that we can trace all the way back to the book of Genesis and the fall. Peter's complaint came from his knowledge as a fisherman. "We've worked hard all night, best time to catch fish, and haven't caught anything. They worked hard, nothing to show for it." You see, if we follow this back to the book of Genesis, we'll see after the curse, God say these words, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life." There's the curse. Hard work. We got to toil. Things don't come easy. You know, I feel this curse of things not coming easy in this fallen world. I feel the curse in all of my life struggles, whether it be earning, whether it be my health, whether it be in relationships, isolation, loneliness. There it is. It's not easy. We're all broken sinners living in a broken world. And this is really interesting when we take a look at Peter himself as he was feeling that curse. Now, yeah, that's a picture of me holding a really nice walleye. Do I look sad? I look happy. This was a total gimme. I was out fishing panfish, and I drilled a hole about, 60 feet away and dropped a minnow and a tip-up down and came up with this. Total luck. Why wasn't Peter, like, high-fiving Jesus at this great catch of fish? I mean, this is a glory moment. They had spent all night fishing, hadn't caught a thing. They've got bills to pay. They've got kids at home to feed. They've got responsibilities and nothing. And then this great haul of fish. Catching fish is fun for the amateur. Look at how happy I look. Do I look sad? No. But imagine the joy if this was your livelihood. If this was the way you put food on the table and paid the bills. But you can feel the curse in Peter's response. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." He had just come into the reality of who Jesus really is. Only God can do this kind of stuff. Like Isaiah in the temple, "Woe is me." All of a sudden, Peter was standing next to God, and he didn't feel all that comfortable. He felt Jesus, but he felt estrangement. He was a sinner, and Jesus was perfect. He was holy. And that feeling was more powerful than the joy, for he was now in the presence of God and accountable. Accountable. Ooh, that's hard. C.S. Lewis once said, a former atheist, that he didn't really think there was such thing as a philosophical atheist, only practical atheists, those who wanted to live as if there was no God. Lewis confessed he was a practical atheist. He wanted to live as if there was no God, and then he ran into J.R. Tokheim on the faculty at Oxford and began to study the Bible, and God broke through to him. So there's good news for the cursed and the accountable. Notice Jesus' response to Peter's moment of dread. Jesus' response to the cursed and the accountable. Don't be afraid. Just let that word linger for a moment. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are my friend. I'm calling you into the family business. Jesus extends not a clenched fist of righteous anger, but an open hand of friendship, healing, and inclusion. Jesus extends the same hand to us as he proclaims to us, don't be afraid, fear not, you are forgiven, and curse no more. In this world you have trouble, but I have overcome the world and put you on a new trajectory of eternal life. So what does this mean for us here in Earhart, Minnesota in February of 2022? Well, it means no more looking over my shoulder. I'm no longer looking for an angry God or an uncontrollable fate or chaos brought about by my sin. You see, because of the cross, I no longer have to fear encountering God, but I can look for his friendship when I encounter the hardship and toils of this world, because he's my friend. He's taken my sins from me. That's what the cross is all about. And you see, because of the cross and because of his resurrection, I can dream of things far better. Looking forward to God's new world, free from the curse, free from brokenness, free from sorrow. That's his legacy to me. That's what I have to look forward to. The bottom line, because of Jesus, God is my friend. He's my friend and my companion as I walk through this broken world. I now live beneath an open heaven, loved, sustained, and assured, all because of what Jesus has done. And we celebrate what Jesus has done in the Lord's Supper, where he says, this is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Praise be to God. Let us pray. A prayer by Scotty Smith. To trust in you, Jesus, to boast in the gift of your righteousness, to rest in the constancy of your love, to wake up each day to your endless mercies, to hear you sing to us in the gospel, is to feel the stranglehold of shame lose its grip over our hearts. Jesus, I praise you for taking the guilt of our sin and the shame of our brokenness on the cross. You became sin for us, that in you we might become the righteousness of God. Because of you, Judgment Day holds no terror. The cross was our Judgment Day. We no longer fear the gaze of God because of the grace of God we have in you. Amen and amen. As we shift gears now, as we prepare to take the offering and prepare to receive the Lord's goodness in Holy Communion, we're going to sing together. Now, sing out. This is not an unfamiliar tune, but in my 11 and a half years here, I don't think we've ever sung this song. But we're going to do it. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. Beautiful hymn, meaningful words as we prepare ourselves to receive what God has for us in his supper. Hymn number 198, verses 1 through 4. Please be seated. I think we did pretty good with that hymn. Beautiful melody, beautiful words. I think we'll revisit that one. Beautiful communion hymn. Well, today, as we take the gift, yet another gift our Lord has given to us, your little communion kit and peel back that first layer of clear plastic and get to the wafer, we will hear the Lord's words. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take, eat." Holding on to that cup very firmly, peel back that foil layer. And again, we hear our Lord's words of invitation. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Take, drink. This is the blood of our Lord, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now bestowed upon you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all of your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's peace be to each and every one of you. What a joy it is to gather together, pray together, Our Father, and to pray together for those who need God's help today. And let's do that. We pray first for those who are celebrating birthdays this week. Let us pray. Lord God, what a gift it is to have this fellowship. You have united us, not by our accomplishments, by what you have done for us. Because of this, we pray, Our Father, and we pray especially for those who are celebrating birthdays this week. We pray your blessing upon Daniel Grunwald, Derek Tollefson, Evan Kubitz, Peter Runovic, Doug Motes, Roger Rossum, Ryder Noble, Sean Ripley, David Motes, Cassie Nelson, Andrea Nelson, Daryl Statham, Nicholas Anderson, Reed Norgren, and Jana Gerald. Lord, may each of these, as they celebrate birthdays this week, also celebrate the fact that they are loved deeply, unconditionally by you. We thank you for them and pray your blessing upon them. We pray especially, Lord, for those who are struggling during this time, whether it be from isolation or struggles that we encounter as we live in a fallen world. It might be health, it might be income, it might be relational. Lord, we pray especially for those who feel isolated and alone and wounded. May they feel today your friendship and your love for them, that you are walking with them through this world. Grant them to look at the cross, to know that you do love them deeply. And Lord, each of us today, as we come here as individuals, united by your goodness and grace, we lift up our own hearts to you, our own struggles, our own joys, our own wounds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As our time this morning draws to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand. And we'll sing together a closing song seen on the screen, My Savior's Love.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For he
marvelous. It is wonderful. And thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Thanks be to God. Receive the Lord's blessing today. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord.
Amen.